Thank you very much for your welcome back to Leaving this evening to share again something of the most wonderful message that the world has ever heard, as it is contained in our Bible. The first hymn we were singing there tonight, 162, the middle verse said this: "The soul that sinneth dies. My awful doom I heard, I was forever lost, but for thy gracious words, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive." If you had been in Perth yesterday morning, a lovely spring morning, on the high street there were a few Christians who were having an open air service, and one of the preachers on that occasion said this, talking about the unfolding tragedy in Southeast Asia. "The cyclone that has wiped out tens of thousands of people. And yet, on the borders of Burma, aid supplies are building up, but the military junta are saying they don't need it. They don't want it. The answer to the problem of the people is just there on the border, and yet they're turning their back on it." And the preacher said, "That is but a small example of men and women's response to God today. The soul that sinneth dies. My awful doom I heard. I was forever lost. And yet, God has provided the answer. God has provided the solution. God has provided a way of escape. But men and women and young people today are saying, no, we don't need God. We don't want God. But for thy gracious word, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive." And so the challenge comes to you tonight, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. God has provided the answer that your life needs. He has provided everlasting life, if only you are willing to accept what he has done. I wonder if you would turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 23, if you have a Bible with you. Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. We're not really going to speak about this passage at all. I want to speak to you about five words that we find in the Bible. The words are found in the book of Amos, and that, I haven't asked you to turn that up. It's a hard little book to find. But in the book of Amos, one of these old prophets of Israel, men sent by God to bring his message to the people of the day. And Amos was one of these men, and in chapter 4 and verse 12, he says this: "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." The message of Amos, hundreds, thousands of years ago to the people of Israel, was this: prepare to meet thy God. And that challenge, that message that came from the prophet Amos, is still ringing down through the centuries. And still tonight the challenge comes to each and every one of us: prepare to meet thy God. It's words that are loved by the cartoonists. It's words that are loved by those who mock the Christian message. And so often you'll see it on cartoons, the little man with his placard, and on the placard it says, "Prepare to meet thy God." But the frightening thing is that the message is true and the challenge is real. Prepare to meet thy God. I just want to read a few verses from Luke 23 with you. Two men at the point of death, prepare to meet thy God. One of them died prepared, the other one didn't. At verse 33 of Luke chapter 23 we read this: "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. That is, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Prepare to meet thy God. We're going to think about that, these five words in three little sections. First of all, we're going to think about thy God. And remember how the psalmist said, But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And then we'll think about the little bit in the middle, to meet. And we're going to remember that the Hebrew writer said of God, Him with whom we have to do. Him with whom we have to do. And then finally we'll think of prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. And if we are to meet God, surely it makes sense that we must prepare to meet thy God. The Apostle Paul, one of the great leaders of the early Christian church, was facing execution and was facing death. And as he did so, he wrote a letter to his friend Timothy and said this, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I wonder tonight, are you able to say that? I am now ready. In the face of the challenge, prepare to meet your God. Can you say, I am now ready? First of all, then, let's think of the last two words, thy God. And if you were to read through these verses in Amos chapter 4, you'll find that Amos said this of the God of God, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. In Psalm 115, the psalmist records the challenge, the sneer of the heathen who were saying, Where is now their God? And the reply of the psalmist was this, But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I wonder tonight, are you here with a similar thought, a similar view? Where is now their God? It's a view that has been promoted widely in recent years. Richard Dawkins being one of the main proponents, and his book, The God Delusion, got so much publicity. Where is now their God? The answer I give to you tonight is the answer that the psalmist gave thousands of years ago. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. In another psalm, Psalm number 10 this time, we have recorded the attitude of the wicked concerning God. God is not in all his thoughts. Or an alternative translation would put it like this: all his thoughts are, there is no God. And this time, the reply of the psalmist is, the Lord is King forever and ever. Again, can I ask you tonight, is this you tonight? There is no God. Is this you tonight in all his thoughts? No God. No time for God. No need for God. There is no God. In Psalm 14, a third psalm, we read this: the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Why does the psalmist use such strong language? Why does he say, the fool hath said in his heart, no God? He says this because God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. He says this because God is in the heavens, and he is the one with whom we have to do. Prepare to meet thy God. The Apostle Paul, writing to Christians at Rome, spoke of the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, so that they, that is men, are without excuse. Paul says, the creation of the world is evidence of God, and therefore men are without excuse. The Bible does not go out to prove that God exists. The Bible is based on the fact that God is. The very first verse of our Bible says, in the beginning, God created. And says Paul, as we have just said, from this creation, what we see all around us, the eternal power and Godhead of God is seen. And man is without excuse. And this God, the prophet says, is thy God. So who is this God? The God with whom we have to do. The one whom Amos is challenging us, prepare to meet thy God. There's so many things we could say. I want to just leave two with you as we pass on. Firstly, God is great. And secondly, God is good. God is great. He is thy God because he made you. Psalm 95, yet another psalm, tells us that the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And the psalmist continues, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. The great God of creation is the one who made us, made in the likeness of God, made with the ability to commune with God. Listen to the psalmist again. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He is your God, for he is your maker. But then secondly, God is good. The great God of creation is the God who is good. Let's go to the Psalms again. Psalm 100 this time. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. God in heaven cares about you. God the Creator loves you despite what you have done. Despite how far short of His standard you might have come. Despite the sin and the rebellion against God that marks you. And although I don't know many of you, I can say that with confidence, for the Bible tells us that this is true of every one of us. For all have sinned. And all have come short of the standard of God. And yet, despite this, God loves you. In the book of Malachi, another of these Old Testament prophets, the challenge of the people to Malachi was this: wherein hath he loved us? As Malachi would speak of the love of God, the people said, wherein hath he loved us? Is that your view tonight? It is a common question asked out there in the streets of our towns and cities. Wherein hast he loved us? The evidence that God loves you. The evidence that God is good. The Bible says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wherein hath he loved us? How has God shown that he loves me? God has shown his love in that he gave his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Prepare to meet thy God. Thy God. The second little phrase we wanted to think about was to meet. Prepare to meet thy God. Concerning your God, the great God who is your Maker, the good God who has provided a Saviour, the Hebrew writer says, him with whom we have to do. Not only is the God of heaven your God, but he is the God with whom you have to do. You cannot avoid this meeting. You cannot put it off. You cannot stand before God and put on a face, for all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And as this meeting is inevitable, the words of wisdom from the Bible are, prepare to meet thy God. To meet God, your Maker. To meet God, the one who provided his Son as Saviour. Prepare to meet your God. You may very well choose tonight to ignore or to forget about God, but one day you will have to meet thy God. The one with whom you have to do. This life that you now have is a time of preparation. Prepare to meet your God. The Hebrew writer says again, this time in chapter 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But after this, a time of account. But after this, a review of your life. And the Apostle Paul again said, writing to some churches in Galatia, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is good. God cares for you. God loves you. It is His will. It's His desire that all are saved and that none perish. But God, of the God of heaven, is righteous and just and holy and cannot overlook sin and rebellion, that which marks each and every one of us without exception. All of us have come short of the standard that God demands. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In the book of Revelation, the final book in our Bible, towards the end, the Apostle John was given a vision of the future. He was given a vision of man's meeting with God. This is what he says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment, the meeting is certain. It cannot be avoided. The outcome is also made very clear in the Bible. To stand before God as a sinner, having never had your sins forgiven, having never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, is to face the judgment of God according to your works. It is to face the penalty for sins committed, eternal separation from God. The Apostle Paul tells us the wages of sin is death. We read about these two dying thieves, and one of them, as he died upon that cross, could confess, receiving the due rewards of our deeds. To die with unforgiven sin is to face the due reward of our deeds. The time to prepare for meeting God is now. The Apostle Paul again says, writing this time to friends in the city of Corinth, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. When will that be? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every one of us, like Isaac in the Bible, has to confess, I know not the day of my death. Therefore, prepare to meet thy God. Behold, now is the accepted time. Can I ask you again? Are you ready? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I am now ready? As we come to a close, the final point we had was the very first word of our phrase, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Again, if you look to these verses at the end of Amos chapter 4, the cry from God in heaven was, ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. How do we prepare to meet God? What must we do to stand accepted before Him? What do we need to do to enter into heaven? We have already noted tonight several things about thy God. We have noted that He is a God of love. We have noted that it is His will that all be saved. It is his will that none should perish. We noted that his love is so great and has been demonstrated in that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came into the world to save men and women. The Lord Jesus came into the world to provide a way of escape, to provide a means of sins forgiven, to enable guilty men and women to stand accepted before God. The hymn said, "The soul that sinneth dies. My awful doom I heard, I once forever lost. But for thy gracious word, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive." God's only begotten Son took your place and took my place, bearing the penalty of sin that was due to you and me. On Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus bore the punishment for sin. God in heaven, who knows every sin, has it recorded in his books, meted out upon his only beloved Son the punishment due. Listen to what Peter could say, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Listen to Isaiah, another of these ancient prophets, as he wrote concerning the Lord Jesus, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Prepare to meet thy God. So how do we prepare? The Lord Jesus has done it all. He paid the price for our sins. And we prepare by choosing. We prepare by believing. The dying thief, he knew what to do. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Salvation is provided. The Lord Jesus died for us, but the choice is yours and the choice is mine, to accept or reject what he has done. The provision of salvation has been provided. It is available freely. The Lord Jesus died, met the price in full. But you and I have to avail yourselves of this salvation. Do you see the similarity or the picture of the situation in Southeast Asia? The people are in great need. The aid parcels are building up on the border. But men have got to accept the gifts that are given. Do you recognize your needs? The dying thief could say, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." He could say of the Lord Jesus, "This man has done nothing amiss." That was true, for the Lord Jesus was dying for the sins of others. This we do, prepare to meet our God by believing that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A jailer in the city of Philippi asked preachers of the gospel, "What must I do to be saved?" The reply was simple, and the answer is still true today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can you say tonight, "I am now ready"? And so we leave it there. The challenge from an ancient prophet, and yet a challenge that is equally applicable and is equally urgent to you and I today. Prepare to meet your God. Look at it when you go home. The little book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12. Prepare to meet your God. Perhaps things interesting, I know our time's just gone, but think two verses of 231. 231 verses 1 and 3. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Let us keep our seats and sing verses 1 and 3 as we bring our service to a close. Just as we go, we'll take a set moment just to bow and pray. Shall we pray? Our God, we thank Thee for the confidence we have to say, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. We thank Thee for how great Thou art in the beginning, God created. But we are more amazed and filled with wonder as we remember that the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. And that Thou could send Thy Son to be the Saviour of the world. We thank Thee, our God, for the wonderful good news of the Gospel as it is contained in our Bibles. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We think of the challenge, prepare to meet Thy God. We pray, our God, that the consideration of this little phrase may have been a help and a blessing to each one. And we ask Thy blessing on us now as we part. In Jesus' name, Amen.